presentations by the NGOs. And as I said earlier, we have the order in which they speak, and they are aware that they have 5 minutes each and one speaker per group, I mean per time frame. And so we will begin with Susan Millwood for the Animal Welfare Institute, although I understand she is speaking for others. So Susan, the floor is now yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm the first of three speakers to address you today, and my presentation represents many in the environmental, conservation, and animal welfare community. We believe that many people from many cultures and countries share the concerns on which we shall speak. I will address the threats that whales face in the modern world and then comment briefly on welfare aspects and the role of civil society. I grew up in a coastal town in southern England. Occasionally, our sandy shores were tainted by oil spilled from passing tankers and the realization that small drops of oil, for example, ingested by preening birds, could kill them made an indelible memory on me. I now understand that there are chemicals which are far more toxic than oil, and that the effects of our thoughtless addiction to oily fossil fuels stretch far beyond leaks and spills to fundamentally changing our global climate. So it is that we find ourselves in a rapidly changing world. Essentially, we have broken the homeostatic mechanism that has maintained planet Earth within the range of temperatures and conditions that have, until now, allowed our species and all others to evolve and coexist. Our planet is now sailing into uncharted waters because when you change the climate, you change everything. And there are immediate and long-term consequences for all species, including our own. There isn't time to detail all the statistics illustrating climate change, but for the cetaceans, climate change is primarily expected to impact them via loss of habitat, given the distinct thermal ranges of most species, and changes in prey. However, changes in human behavior or activities resulting from, for example, increased flooding and other environmental shifts may also impact cetaceans. For example, reduced ice cover in the Arctic is projected to lead to increased shipping, oil and gas exploration, and fishing, which will result in additional noise and chemical pollution and also bycatch. In addition to climate change, an acoustic fog has descended in the seas. At one time, many of the great whales probably communicated across the better part of entire ocean basins. Now, our noise, mainly from shipping, has reduced their ability to do this and contracted the range of their sensors from hundreds, maybe sometimes thousands, of kilometers down to just a few tens. Some of our more powerful noises can also cause distress, confusion, displacement, and sometimes even strandings and death. Because they are at the apex of marine food chains, the tissues of these animals tend to host a concentrated and noxious cocktail of xenobiotics, affecting the health of the animals and also potentially those humans who eat them. This is not news. Such risks have been known for some decades. What is news is that whilst the levels of some infamous compounds are generally declining in the environment, newer generations of chemicals are taking their place, including in the flesh of whales. The consequences that such chemicals may have include reproductive and immune disorders and also neurophysiological problems. Then there are the issues created by our increasing physical presence in the oceans and seas. We have built out into the habitats of these animals, and as our boats get bigger and faster and our fisheries more intensive, so our impacts increase. Clearly, we need to better understand and address this synergistic cacophony of threats. In this context, we can celebrate the range of work now enshrined in the Scientific Committee on such matters, including the recent climate change workshop. From a conservation perspective, however, governments and other agencies must act urgently and reduce pressures on cetacean populations wherever practicable. Even if we did not have these complicating factors, the awkwardness of studying and even identifying whales at sea should be apparent to all delegates here, and especially any of you who have taken a whale-watching trip and not been quite sure what species it is you are looking at. And this further underpins the inherently unsuitability of attempting to sustainably utilize marine animals that are difficult to study, long-lived, and slow-breeding, and where there is no real need. On welfare, many regard whales as special animals. Many of these animals live in societies. Many show evidence of high intelligence and self-awareness. Whilst it is difficult to subject a baleen whale to an IQ test, it would be inappropriate to write them off as simple animals. Where appropriate research does exist, there is evidence of sophisticated behaviors. Whales are, of course, mammals and clearly capable of suffering in ways that we can understand. Governments and intergovernmental bodies around the world are increasingly recognizing our responsibility to protect the welfare of the animals that we use, making it a wholly retrograde step to approve the use of explosive missiles on conscious animals. Despite considerable efforts by some parties, hundreds of animals will endure long and painful deaths each year. Indeed, since commercial whaling cannot be conducted humanely, should it be conducted at all. Finally, whilst we are grateful for this opportunity to address the Commission, what civil society requests is the ability to take part properly in the dialogue within this body. NGOs are able to contribute to the substantive discussions in many other multilateral environmental treaties, including, for example, in the experience of many of the NGOs representatives here today, CITES and the Convention for Migratory Species. In the meetings of these bodies, our inputs as scientists, lawyers, and other professionals are facilitated and even welcomed. We believe that it would be practical and indeed beneficial to the Commission itself to offer us the same opportunities here. Therefore, we call for increased participation and transparency in the work of the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.